Hello, everyone. This is Virtual Saguaro. It's Monday, the 20th of January, 2020. Boy, is time going by. Today's podcast is about a company and its two employees in Albany, New York. Dave and Donald manage Bankshot Antiques. It's a billiard table restoration company. We'll talk about how they got started, a little bit of history of billiards from here and there, and you can view many pictures of their restoration shop on the accompanying website, virtualsaguaro.com. So stay with us. We'll be right back. That was Dave at the bandsaw trimming up a piece of wood for one of his antique pool tables. We're going to now go to the actual factory in Albany, New York. You're going to hear the street sounds in the background. And let's talk to David and Donald about their business.
It has giant I-beams on the roof. What is it, 15, 20 feet tall ceilings?
15, I think 15.
It doesn't look like it was maybe made for pool table restoration.
That was made for Babbo Cleanser.
Babbo Cleanser, yeah. Like Comet Cleanser?
Yeah,
like?
Yeah.
This and the building across the street was the B.T. Babbitt Lion Lime Works.
Oh, this is a big building.
Yeah.
So what would be happening in a building like this?
Well, I guess they'd be
crushing
making,
the...
Yeah. I have no idea. I know there's steel plates, and there were dollies that would carry heavy things from one
and
side
the floors
to the
are
other.
About this thick.
Okay. Okay, so here we got a bunch of stuff. I see you've stacked tables on top of tables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of a necessity.
Oh, is this a rack? You know, I have a rack like this at home, and I didn't know what these little things are for. Why do they have so many?
Yeah, I have to field a question from a friend on that. Those are basically used as scoring device for different games. In particular, there was poker. You'd have to buy a set of balls that had suits. Card suits
you
on.
You make poker hands.
So when you
on the balls that you
right,
shot
and
in.
So those balls would go up on your
okay.
on your shelf, and there were others.
Well,
I think.
Well, there's cribbage where you had to shoot in two balls consecutively that totaled 15.
Oh,
like the
goodness.
13 and the 2.
Are these
the
games
three
played
the
today at all?
No, I don't
I
think
doubt
so.
It.
Most of these games, I think, were for when people used to hang around pool halls like all day long, and
right.
you just get bored playing eight ball all
yeah.
day long. So you had all kinds of different, and yeah. also a lot of these games were gambling games.
Right.
So that money
sure.
was involved.
Did the manufacturers make the balls with the symbols on?
Yeah, there's poker.
Poker.
Balls. Yeah.
There's also baseball, so you had to buy six more balls.
Yeah, it went to 21, not
yeah.
15.
Oh, so the rack had a sixth row.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, I don't think you've racked in baseball.
Yeah, they had baseball racks.
They do?
Yeah.
I must have one.
Yeah. I think they did.
Okay, wow. So space was the reason for stacking
well,
things.
Well, also so people can see, you know.
Yeah, it's still a showroom
this is
that
sort of
people
a showroom,
come to.
Yeah.
Well, this table here looks in relatively good condition. It's nice and shiny. Is it ready to...
No, somebody refinished it at some time in the past, but it's it would look way better once we were done with it. This is just like a polyurethane that somebody put on it, and there's loose veneer. See how the veneer is cracking.
Okay, as far as the wood quality, I'm sure you can't duplicate this today. The playing quality, would you take care of a smooth slates and good rubber and?
Well, you use the original slates. You don't put on new
right,
slate.
Right, right.
So rubber.
So when it plays, it'll play professionally.
Right.
It's
if
just
it's restored right.
Yeah, okay.
But people do all kinds of things. I mean, it's been around for 100 years, and people have worked on it. So we've got tables where the pockets are an inch and a half too wide, where they're 3/4 of an inch too narrow. You know,
my
people
gosh.
Do things to them. You know,
right.
So the part, you know, restoring them is putting them
this
back.
This guitar case I'm seeing is an essential
right.
part of restoration.
Once,
yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. It's stripping and
me.
Sanding gets pretty boring. So these would be like 1870s.
Okay.
High Victorian, so they're very elaborate, either fancy woods or inlay. And then these would be like mission style,
mm-hmm.
in the World War I, you know, time period. So table changed with furniture styles.
Where do you find, how do you get your clients? Who finds you and how that kind of instrument?
Well, they do an internet search basically, and which is how we get these old tables too. They, you know. So you just put an antique pool table, antique billiard table, if that's something that you
but
want.
From what I've been able to find out, there are not a lot of the businesses that do what you do.
Well, like a, you know, a little over half a dozen that do it for real.
Across the whole country?
Yeah, they do it for real. They're not just shade tree mechanics.
Right.
You know, but we, so we're in 26 years now of doing this. So.
What? Everybody who works on pool tables runs into old pool tables because there were so many. It was so popular around the turn of the, you know, 20th century. But as far as people that do it full time and specialize in restoration, there's not very many.
What percent? I see you're restoring pockets. You're doing custom woodwork, or not woodwork? I should say custom. You're refurbishing the wood that was there with exact patterns that they had. Mm-hmm. What percent of your business is what? Where do you do your most work?
I mean, geographically?
Well, geographically, monetarily, time-wise. I mean, some things may be easier for you to do. Mm-hmm. Some things may be harder. I don't know. I see, looks like custom dowels. Either you made those or you're refinishing them.
Mm. Or those legs. Are turnings those for the bottoms feet. Of feet. A lot of times the feet get rotten from being in wet basements, or old tables are basically usually about 2 inches taller than modern tables. So a lot of times people just cut off the bottom 2 inches of the feet to modernize the height of their pool table, which of course ruins the way it looks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But you see a lot of tables on the internet that are, you know, missing the bottom couple inches of them. So we have to make feet.
Okay, what about felt and rubber? And you don't do the slate. You have to find slate once in a while?
Once in a great while. We have a sort of a supply of for all these tables, but then there's one or two extra sets, you know, that we got off of Junkers that were.
They're all labeled as slates. We have a slate set of the slates go to each table because there's different patterns for the bolt holes, and you know, you can't mix and match. And the old slate from the period that we do tables is almost all Vermont slate. After that, they started using Pennsylvania slate. After that, they started using Italian slate. After that, they started using South American slate and Chinese slate. And each step of the way has been not as good as the previous step. So the old Vermont slate is the best thing. So even if the slate is cracked, if you can repair it, you're much better off to use the old slate.
How do you repair a cracked slate?
Well, if it's a good crack, you know.
A good crack, meaning?
Well, you know, slate is laid down in layers.
In nature. Okay.
And if it cracks horizontally through the whole thing, you're done for. But if it cracks perpendicularly, and those things will made up usually really nicely.
Oh, okay. Then you fill in the crack with.
Take a little epoxy or the cyanoacrylic that'll wick down into the cracks, and then a scab board on the other side.
Okay, you know, it's one thing to tour an antique factory, and as these very talented gentlemen are putting together antiques from over 100 and 200 years old, it was kind of interesting to me to wonder where billiards came from, because as we wander around pool tables today or in families and homes, things like that, you happen to see a rectangular plane surface, so there's six pockets in different corners, but it wasn't always this way. Nor was the Q always the way it was. Q is actually a Q-U-E-U-E, meaning tail. And that tail came from like a little club device that used to whack the balls into the corners. In fact, you know what? It didn't even used to have pockets in the corners. It didn't have a Q stick. You ever think about how to make a ball that's perfectly spherical so that it doesn't go blump, 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 blump as it rolls around the playing surface? In either case, billiards has a tremendous history. I've got a couple links on our website for you to visit if you'd like to know some of the background. But let's just take for a moment, how did bankshotantique.com, how did Dave and Donald come into being? I think I'd like to take an interview with them and see if we can figure out some of their background. Certainly talent is abundant here.
Pretty similar path, but maybe a dozen years apart. Dave is like 12 years younger. We both went to art school.
Art school?
Right.
Here in New York?
In Albany.
In Albany, yeah.
Huh. Same school?
Yep,
Albany.
Yeah, I got my MFA there and can't even remember when now. Right. A while back.
Uh-huh.
Right. I think I got my MA in 78.
And then you went into looking for a job as an artist or as a trainer?
Sure, yeah.
I didn't have the temerity, the perseverance to find a job as an artist. So, but somebody who I went to school with happened to be a cabinet maker as well as a painter and was at the time a foreman at a little local pool table factory that made a home version of a bar table. It looked just like a bar table, but you didn't have to put money in it.
Okay.
And so he was the foreman there, and within a few years, it was just former art students making the pool tables.
Hmm.
There was like six of us. And then I was the foreman for a while, and then I quit and started just doing service and repair pool tables, selling new pool tables eventually, setting up pool halls eventually, and Dave was an employee at first, and then we became partners with the antique.
Huh. And Dave, you're in the same art school.
Yep, same art school. And I was gonna maybe teach high school. And I started that certification. I realized that I didn't really care about these kids. They didn't care about art. You had to cajole them and convince them to make art.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's crazy. Well, I don't understand. They had a great dark room. I actually subbed in the high school I went to.
Right.
And they now have like 30 enlargers for photography and everything. And I thought, well, like, people I know in college, they would kill for this.
Yeah.
But the kids, they didn't care.
You were on the leading edge at that time.
Yeah. So I just didn't want to do it. I came up here and started working at an art foundry, a guy I know, and then I guess it was Tom told me that somebody I went to school with, that there's this guy that delivers pool tables. He needs guys to unload trucks, basically. I thought it was like unloading trucks, you know. And then we did a lot of service work at the beginning, driving around, moving, covering. All that stuff.
When did you finally get to this facility here?
Oh, he's been here since 83 or even earlier.
Yeah, I moved in here. This was originally, I lived here and had an art studio here.
Okay.
A couple of years out of college. And then started the business when I was already here. And then we eventually moved somewhere else and this became just the business.
You know, I really think the listeners would not have bridged the art school to a table restoration business.
Mm.
But as I look around, you have every tool I've ever seen. You've got machines.
Yeah.
You've got artistic talent running out your ears here, all the different things.
Well,
from woodwork,
Dave,
and leather.
Dave was a sculptor and I was a painter. So he does all the three-dimensional structural veneering, mm-hmm. you know, fabricating type stuff. And I do like the coloring and finishing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's a good blend.
Painting type stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Dave, he was very careful with some sort of saw or sanding device going through the grooves to get these little mm-hmm. raised portions of the wood just the way it's supposed to be.
We just started making leather pool table pockets. The company that was doing it, the big dog that was doing it for everybody, went out of business.
Because they wanted to go to a different business, or there's
I think he retired, and I think now there's Chinese competition for tables, and they come with pockets from China, you know, and I think it was probably time, so he retired. And
the children of that person didn't want to inherit the business.
They were working there for a while, but no, I guess they didn't want to, you know. We thought, well, we've got to do it because we need these pockets.
Sure.
So we try to see what we could do to get ourselves our own needs met, and it turned out that, you know, we bought enough stuff and we're making them for people all over the country now.
Sure. Well, pockets, I mean, the leather itself, in my own personal case of ownership, the pocket was paper thin old leather.
Yeah.
And it just, you couldn't even put a brad through it without it just cracking and falling apart.
Right.
So where do you get your leather? Is that easy to find?
Yeah, there's a leather companies that sell the veg tan leather, and we bought dyes to punch out the parts, and mm-hmm. we have form. We soak them, we form them, and we dye them.
But a sewing machine from Texas that you can like sew saddles with.
Yeah, because of what I've seen, it's quite thick leather
yeah,
that
right.
you're puncturing. You're trying to hook that
mm-hmm.
I don't know the terminology. What's the name of this outside of the pocket?
Shield.
Shield, and then there's some other little piece on the inside.
Yeah, trim leather.
Trim leather, okay. So that whole thing is sewed around the iron or aluminum? Or
the iron is cast iron, and that's the horseshoe-shaped thing.
Take me a tour on the tools that you have to have. I see a bunch of machines in here.
Sure.
I want to catch some.
This would be a cool sound, too. Just like to set it up.
Because what I'll do is I'll get some pictures of these machines as well, but I'll speak about them.
Yeah, this is a clicker. I guess they call it a clicker. It's a die press.
A die press?
Yeah, luckily this one runs with air, not the big hydraulic ones, which are, you know, take up a huge footprint, and, you know, they do a little bit more than this one. This is 15 ton.
What do you press, sir? You'll probably tell me.
Well, I'm going to show you.
Okay. Okay, I'm watching the gentleman bring out a large air hose. We're going to put this air hose onto this press. And it's on. Probably a compressor somewhere to turn on. There, I see it.
Okay. I didn't put the hose on.
Okay. So these are dies. This foam hides
a bolt.
This foam hides a very sharp.
Okay, when you say die, I'm looking at what is it for?
It's to cut out pieces of leather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why we need that's why we need this.
All right. So there's this die. It looks like it's got a rubber.
It's see down in there is the blade.
It's
so
sharp.
You press that hard.
Oh,
bam.
there's an eye. Yeah. Gotcha.
So let me grab a piece.
Glad
of
I didn't
leather.
Push it any harder.
Yeah. Like a razor blade.
Yeah, so you
and
put
this
the
little small box here weighs 600 pounds.
600 pounds, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a small one. The big ones are giant.
Okay, I'm looking at a large piece of beautiful, beautiful leather about to be pushed inside this press. And on the board is a very sharp. What'd you call that, a knife?
It's a long band of real sharp stuff. They call it a steel die rule. Steel rule die, yeah. So it's that blade comes out in a big long coil, and they hammer it into this wood here. And then
he's lining up this leather with the die on top of it, and then the press is going to push down on the die and right into the leather and cut it?
Yep.
He's got two hands, one on each side, for it looks like safety, perhaps. Oh, I didn't see anything happen. Oh my gosh, there it is.
There it is.
A beautiful piece of leather, just cut. Oh, goodness, look at that.
So now this is flat. We'll soak it and wrap it around one of the irons that it's going
to
go on.
To mold it, and then leather can keep its shape to that iron.
Yeah, and there's some over there, so.
Well, we've come to the end of the podcast. I really appreciate meeting David and Donald. I love the shop, its history. The size of that place where they work is just tremendous. There's years of history and tables just standing on top of each other being repaired for people all over the country. You know, their finished products are beautiful too. I always liked leather and how it was finished, and they can do that plus the woodwork and the inlays. If you'd like to see more about what they do and their services offered, please go to bankshotantiques.com. This is Virtual Saguaro. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and all the others that we offer. If you'll go to virtualsaguaro.com, you will find this podcast with many pictures that we've taken in their shop. And I hope you enjoy meeting them even just virtually through the internet. So until the next time, you guys have a great day.